Well, a manager was once walking to work with two of his staff, and as they walked to work, they passed an old antique shop. One of the two staff members took rather a liking to an old lamp that was just out there on the bench with various other antiques. Picking it up, he gave it a rub, and poof, out pops a genie. Well, the genie says to the manager and the two members of staff, "Ask me for something, and I will give you each of you one wish." Well, the first member of staff steps up, and he says, "Well, I want to be on a beach in Hawaii, listening to the crash of the waves on a golden beach, sitting there with a pina colada in my hand." And in an instant, his wish was granted, and he was off on that beach. Well, the next member of staff steps up and says, "Well, you know what? I want to be on the slopes of my favorite ski slope in Switzerland, ready to tackle that fantastic, challenging black run." And in an instant, his wish was granted, and he was off at the top of the mountain. Well, finally, the genie turns to the manager of these two members of staff and says, "Well, what is your wish?" And the manager says, "I want those two back in the office by lunchtime." Now, that is a very silly joke. I found it on the internet, and I cleaned it up a little bit. But it is an interesting question, isn't it? If you could have one wish, if you could have anything you wanted in the whole world, what would it be? Maybe you'd quite like to be on a beach in Hawaii on a day like this. Maybe you'd think of other things that you would like, but it is a fascinating question. It's a fascinating question, not just because it invites us into some sort of wild flights of fancy, but it's interesting because it reveals something about who we are, doesn't it? It shows up our true values, our true desires, our attitude, our ambitions, what we really treasure. A question like that reveals, frankly, ourselves. Now, you may be relieved to know that I'm going to come around and ask you what you would answer to that question, although it's a fascinating thing to think about. Now, what instead we're going to do is we're going to look at what Solomon, king of Israel, answered to that question. Because here in 1 Kings chapter 3, we have that question posed to Solomon, not a fictitious story of an imaginary genie, but a question posed to the king of Israel by the living God himself. And I think what it does is it reveals for us this. It reveals for us a good request for wisdom to work. Let me repeat that again. It reveals a good request for wisdom to work. This is perhaps a famous story as God invites Solomon to present a request to him. And you can imagine, as perhaps you've been beginning to think of yourself, there are plenty of things that Solomon could have said. Plenty of things he could have asked for. He could have asked for wealth. He could have asked for power. He could have asked for influence or authority. He could have asked quite legitimately for security for the nation or for military might to push back their enemies. But here Solomon is presented by God to ask a request, and what he does is he asks for wisdom. And we see the heart of that request in verse 9. Look down with me. He says, he replies to God's request by saying, "So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong." See, just like his father David before him, God has appointed Solomon to lead God's people Israel. But what Solomon recognizes and acknowledges before God is there in the rest of the verse, who is able to govern this great people of yours? And so Solomon asks God for wisdom to do the job that God has appointed him to do, the work that he's given him to do. Solomon asked for wisdom to work. And I want us to notice two key things about this request for wisdom. The first is this, that it is granted by God's generosity. See how this episode begins with God's initiative back in verse 3. Here he comes to Solomon in a dream and he says to him, verse 5. He comes to Solomon in a dream at a place called Gibeon, and God says to him, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." That is an incredible question, isn't it? God here is a God of lavish generosity who is speaking to Solomon. A God who says to Solomon, "Look, here's a blank check. Write whatever you would like on it." And I wonder if that's the kind of God that we often think of when we come to prayer. I don't know, if I look at my own heart, I don't tend to think of God as being this kind of lavish, generous God when I pray. And I began to wonder why that was as I thought about this. And I think it's probably because we rightly have a view of God as our supreme authority. He's the one in charge. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But because that's quite difficult for our small brain, or at least my small brain, to get to grips with, we tend to think, therefore, of God like the other figures of authority in our lives. Probably the closest one is maybe our boss at work. And we start to think of God as we come to him in prayer, a little bit like coming to our boss and maybe pitching a business proposal. Maybe you've done that, maybe you've got to do that this afternoon. And we start thinking of prayer as if we have to come prepared with material to try and persuade God of our way of thinking, much as we would present a proposal to our boss for a new business idea. And we need perhaps to hear again what God is like here in verse 5. Because here is God being the one who is asking. Here is God who is wanting to be generous to Solomon and therefore to all his people. And especially when it comes to asking for wisdom. It's the same for us too. James chapter 1 verse 5 says this, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Solomon asks for wisdom to work, and it is granted by God's generosity. But secondly, not only is it granted by God's generosity, it is grounded in Solomon's humility. Look again at how Solomon frames his request in verse 7. He says, "Now, Lord God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties." Literally, he says, "I do not know how to go out and to come in." He's saying, look, I'm no more than a child. I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do things. And as someone starting a new job, I can relate to that. And I think humility is something we fail to value in our workplace a lot of the time, isn't it? It's not something we tend to look for in our leaders. I don't think we see that often on job descriptions or on job adverts. We want somebody who is humble. And we might think, come on, Solomon, you're selling yourself short. You're writing your own CV here, and you're not really selling yourself terribly well. In fact, if we go back to chapter 2, we find David telling Solomon, just before he dies, that Solomon already has wisdom. Twice, King David says to him, "You're a man who possesses wisdom, Solomon." And yet here is Solomon saying, "I'm no more than a little child." And the reason is because Solomon recognizes that wisdom begins with humility. William Wordsworth, the poet, said this, "Wisdom is oftentimes nearer when we stoop than when we soar." And the Christian poet and hymn writer William Cowper once wrote, "Knowledge is proud that he has learned so much. Wisdom is humble that he knows no more." And that is reflected here in Solomon, isn't it? His wisdom begins with humility. Humility that recognizes that true wisdom comes only from God. It can't be taught, it can't be bought, and it cannot be earned. It comes only by a humble request. A humble request granted by God's generosity and grounded in Solomon's humility. And then we find in verse 10 that this is therefore a good request. Verse 10, "The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this." I don't know if you ever wonder what to pray for. Perhaps in the morning, perhaps in the evening, whenever you get to find a time to pray, and you close your eyes and you think, what on earth should I pray for? What on earth would please God? What should I ask for? Here we have an example of a prayer that pleases God. A prayer, a request, a good request for wisdom to work. Solomon doesn't ask for all those things he could have asked for, long life and wealth or power or vengeance on his enemies. Instead, he asks for wisdom to do the very thing that God has given him to do. And God blesses him with even more than he asked for. And we see that worked out. As we look through the coming verses and coming chapters, we see how Solomon's request for wisdom is granted by God. In the rest of the chapter, we have perhaps the most famous story of Solomon as two prostitutes come to him arguing over a baby. Perhaps you know the story. If not, do read the rest of the chapter. It's a brilliant story. And Solomon, in his wisdom, is able to judge clearly and confidently with justice. And find right at the end of the chapter, look down with me at verse 28. After this episode, when all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. Later on in 1 Kings in chapter 10, we find the visit of the Queen of Sheba as she visits Solomon in all his splendor, and she sees also that he has been given wisdom. Chapter 10, verse 7, she says, "In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report I heard." See, what Solomon tells us is, and shows us, is a good request that God is pleased to hear. For wisdom to do the job that God has given him to do. And if that is true of the king of Israel, it is certainly true of us, isn't it? Whether a king or a cleaner, we need to ask for wisdom. We need to recognize that God generously gives it, that we come dependent on him, but he loves to hear and to answer. But we also come with humility to know that we need God just like a little child. Do we ask for the same thing that Solomon asked for here? For wisdom to do the work that God has called us to do. Whatever that might be, whether it's working in a church or in an office or at home or in whatever setting you find yourself, do we ask for wisdom because God wants us to ask? A good request for wisdom to work. But just before we finish, there is one final thing we need to listen to from this passage. See, Solomon's a great example for us. He gives us this great example of wisdom, of a request for wisdom to do the job that God has called him to do. But we also find revealed here a better desire for wisdom to live. Look at how Solomon is described back in verse 3, just back across the page. It starts off very well, doesn't it? Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father David. That's a fantastic description, isn't it? Wouldn't it be great if people said that about us? But look at what happens next. Except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. See, those high places were pagan places of worship. They were places of worship to other gods. And the people of Israel were forbidden to take part in it. They were forbidden to worship God in those places. They were to worship the true God only, and they were to worship him and only at the place that God tells them to. And if you read through the books of 1 Kings and 2 Kings, again and again, these high places continue to be a problem for God's people because they continue to draw them away from the true God. So while this passage gives us a great and good request from Solomon for wisdom to work, we also find at the beginning of this passage that Solomon is in danger. He's in danger of doing a fantastic job at leading God's people, of governing the people, of doing the work that he's been given to do, but he is in danger of lacking trust in God, of walking away from the living God, and that is even more important. You see, Solomon needs wisdom to govern, but he needs also wisdom to follow God. Solomon needs wisdom to work, but also wisdom to live, and so do we. Back in the late 1800s, there was sadly a tragic accident, and a man was killed whilst using a circular saw. It's near Halloween. That's probably a gruesome picture to have in your heads. But the obituary notice of this man read like this. It said that he was a good citizen, an upright man, and an ardent patriot, but of limited information with regard to circular saws. Now, that's an understatement. But all those other things that could have been said about him, and were said about him, he was a good citizen, an upright man, an ardent patriot, did not save him from losing his life through lack of information about how to use a circular saw. See, wisdom to do all the things that we've got to do is a good thing. It's a good thing to ask God for, but we need, above all, wisdom for the things that count most. We need wisdom for life. We need wisdom to follow God. You see, this would be Solomon's downfall. For all of his other wisdom and worldly wealth, he began to love other gods. He was drawn away from worshiping the true God to worshiping idols. And this eventually led to Solomon's downfall and the downfall of Solomon's kingdom, split in half and eventually led into exile. If you don't know the story, read chapter 11 of 1 Kings at some point and see what happens to Solomon. And like Solomon, we need wisdom to work, don't we? We need God's wisdom to do the job that he's given us to do. But most importantly, we need wisdom for life. We need wisdom that counts. We need wisdom that will put us right with God and give us life. The wisdom that he generously gives through the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 describes Jesus as the one in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And Jesus himself calls himself the one greater than Solomon in all his wisdom. So let's ask God for his wisdom. Let's present that good request that he longs for us to ask, for wisdom to do the work that he's given us to do. But let us not do it at the expense of asking for the wisdom that leads to life, the wisdom that is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ, the wisdom that will keep us safe and secure, whether we find success, just as Solomon did, or whether we find ourselves in difficult and distressing situations. We know that we are depending on the wisdom that gives life. Let me pray. A loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a generous God who longs for us to come and to ask you for the things that we need, and above all, to ask you for wisdom. We pray that you would give us wisdom for the jobs that you've given us to do, wherever they may be, whatever they may be. Please help us to do them to your glory and to do them well. Please help us to ask with humility. But above all else, may we ask for the wisdom that leads to life through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we find that wisdom and that wisdom alone. Amen.